So we're going to talk about staying on mission. Here's a word you may have read and heard a lot in some Christian circles. I don't think it's explained well enough. It's just said and people are supposed to just catch it. By the time we're done today, you're going to understand what it means to be on mission. Here's the outline. Jesus' mission was to glorify the Father. Hey, I gave it away. That's my whole sermon. Number two, the apostles were to continue his mission. Then number three, the church, that's you and me, were to continue his mission. Not the apostles' mission, but his mission. Today, we have an opportunity to make the Father known, to bring him glory, to expose him. Not only by reading God's word, serving in ministry, practicing what we learn, but more importantly, we have two baptisms today. Two young men, they're just excited. I was talking to Nicholas today. He's a little nervous, but it's cool. It's great. All right? So we're going to do that at 1:30. I met them both during Awana, and I asked them if they're ready, and they're just chomping at the bit. So if at all you could be here, please do so. These young men want to declare to you in a public way, I love Jesus. And they want to say, we want to make him known. And that's exactly what baptism does. It demonstrates that we must die to ourselves. And the death is being buried. And coming out of the water, it's a picture of new life. And these boys want to show you that. And the more witnesses they have, the better it is. Okay? So if you could come out, that's my best appeal to you. If you could come out and be here for that. We made it at 1:30. I made it my decision. I made it at 1:30 because there's no meal. So if you have time, you guys have plenty of time after Sunday school, okay? You have plenty of time to go out and catch some food somewhere and then be back by 1:30. And then we're going to start. We're going to do communion and baptism, all right? And we're going to have a blast, all right? Hoot and holler and cheer with these young men and their families, okay? By the way, whenever we've done a baptism, it's one of the greatest ways we have to reveal the Father, to bring glory to his name, to share the gospel. Okay? And so lots of times there's people of their families who don't know Jesus, and they come, and they get to hear the gospel plain and simple when we do baptism, and also when we do communion. So come and be a part of witnessing and standing up and supporting the gospel message as it goes out. All right, that's the best appeal I can do. Now it's up to you. So we want to start here and look at Jesus' mission was to glorify the Father. We're going to define what his mission is and what glorifying means, and here we go. Letter A, he was to grant eternal life. That was his role, is to bring, to grant, to offer, to apply eternal life to humanity. Not all humanity, but to those who come to Christ. Look at number one under there. To glorify the Father. Verse 1 of John 17. Father, Jesus prays, the time has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. What does it mean to be glorified? Avery's learning to be potty trained, so she's running around without her diaper. Okay, don't tell anybody, but she likes to run around with nothing. It's like freedom! And she just runs around and has a good old time, right? In all of her glory, she's running around, fully exposed. And I don't mean we expose God that way, but to glorify God means to make his very character known, his very nature known. Making him known. Not our opinion about him, not our thoughts about him, not our collective suggestions about him, but what it says in Scripture. And what he's proven himself, not just in Scripture, but consistent with Scripture in our life. We're to reveal who the Father is. The best way to do that, in the front of your bulletin, sharing the good news. What's the good news? It's the gospel. If it's good news, what makes it good? Before Christ, you're dead and on your way to hell. No way out. dismal, bad. It's worse than anything this world has ever seen, and it will go on for eternity. Here's the good news. Jesus provided a way so you don't have to go there. His name is Jesus Christ. God sent his one and only Son that whoever believes in him, not just believes that he died and rose again, but will trust in that to be what restores the relationship. This is the good news. It's something that I think all of you know. You know Christ is your Lord and Savior. You have the good news. This ought to be just boiling and bubbling in you and make you excited to want others to know Jesus. We spend a lot of our time thinking, man, I don't like that guy. I'm going to avoid him. And yet that person needs Jesus as much as you did. I don't care how evil you think that person might be. They need Jesus. Sometimes we think we're going to change the government by how we vote. Oh, I might change some things. It'll never change hearts. Never change hearts. We can change a few things in our legislation and our government, but it'll never change the heart. The only thing that changes the heart is Jesus Christ. It's the good news. To make God known, and then people moved by the Holy Spirit accept Jesus, who he is, and they trust in him to restore that relationship, they have new life. And it's at that point they have the capacity to think different, to be different. But without meeting Jesus and giving their life to Jesus, it is never going to happen, ever. Wow. That's like five guys gathering together for a cause greater than themselves, hiking to the top of this mountain, not knowing how to get there, but just trusting each other and getting there. That's what we need to do, is trust the Lord to be able to preach the gospel faithfully and clearly. Not just from here, but wherever you're retired, wherever you're working, wherever you're playing, wherever you're living, an opportunity to carry on the mission of Christ. All right, I need to get going here. So the Father's glory, it's to display God's essential character and nature, to display who God really is. Here's another verse I'd like to remind you of, Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Oh, what does that mean? Because there's sin in my life, I cannot bring God glory. I cannot make God known. Because I live for sin. You know what sin does? It makes me known. Hey, I'm a really good person. I'm a good citizen. I contribute and I help with nonprofit things and blah, blah. Yeah, but you're not making the Father known. Making yourself known. That's all sin does. To glorify the Father means you make him known. Is it not Matthew 5 that says you need to let your light shine before men so they give God the praise, not you? And sometimes we do some things, and in our heart of hearts we think, wow, I'm pretty good. And then we say, but I give God the credit. Are you really giving him the credit is the question. When are we going to stop pleasing ourselves and pleasing the Father? The Son's glory. Notice it said, Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. The Son's glory is the display of who the Son really is, who Jesus really is. He is the one who is making the Father known. And he does so through his birth, his life, his death, and then the resurrection, the ascension, and his ongoing priestly duty at the Father's right hand, pleading the case on your behalf. This is what we're to reveal. To be on mission is to carry the message of Christ. Look at number two. To reveal the Father, verses 2-3, Jesus prays, for you granted him, meaning the Son, authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. The Son's job is to give eternal life. Notice, it's to give eternal life, and some of you may be uncomfortable with this, but it says to those that the Father has given me. Nobody is ever going to come to Christ on their own. Ever. It's a human impossibility because all we have is a sinful nature that wants nothing to do with God and His Word. It's the Holy Spirit that works inside you, and there are people who don't know Christ, and the Spirit's working right now. And they're feeling that pull, they're feeling that tug, they're feeling angst against, and it's because the Holy Spirit's calling and working, and they need to bend the knee and just say, I accept. But they need you right there to be kind and to encourage them to receive the Lord. So then I want to read for you John chapter 1 and Hebrews 1. These are verses that tell us the whole purpose of Jesus. John chapter 1, verse 14, we have seen His glory, meaning God's glory. He's made Himself known how? Who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. We see who God the Father is by the life and the words of Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, the Son, meaning Jesus, is the radiance of God's glory, the exact representation of His being. The Son's job is to make the Father known to all of humanity. He only speaks the Father's words. There are many times, especially in the Gospel of John, where He says, I don't come and speak my own words. I didn't come to deliver you my opinion about God's words. I didn't come to give you my opinion about anything. I came with the very words that God the Father gave me, and I just speak to you the words that He's given me. He didn't need to take the message, run it through His brain, twist it around, and have it come out His way. He came to speak the very words, and those are His words of what the gospel is, of who the Father is. Hey, believers, sometimes we spend more time trying to be creative in how to say the gospel so we don't offend anybody. We don't get the gospel out. We need to hear the words of Christ and share it. Sometimes the gospel comes out all fluffy and not real clear. Sometimes the gospel comes out harsh and mean, turn or burn. It's never the case with Christ. He just simply spoke the gospel. You want help doing that? I got a bunch of stuff on the back table. Here's this, and this is the Gospel of John. It's called Living Water, and it has different verses that are highlighted and things to help you share the gospel. So there's an opportunity for you. I have a whole bunch of tracks here, just two represented, and it's on a turnstile back there. This is one, Missing Heaven by That Much, and this is a great opportunity to share with somebody. This is not something you just give somebody and walk away. Build a relationship. Read that, and let's talk about it at a later date. And talk about it. Okay? Oh, here's the third one, Thirsty, and that's by Billy Graham. Here's one, and it's Hispanic. Okay, I know you don't speak Spanish, some of you may, but if you don't, hey, that's fine. You go to a Mexican restaurant, you eat, leave it with a good tip. All right? But there's opportunity. This is from Awana, and this is just a gospel track. It just helps you understand how to think through the gospel. You know what the gospel is. This gives you some verses and the pathway to use. So this is on the back table too. Take as many as these you want. They're tools for you. Steps to Peace with God. This is put together by Billy Graham and his crew. That's on the back table. And if we run out, we've always got scads of these. These are important. These are tools. You know the gospel, but sometimes what you need is help. That's all these are. And so take as many of those as you want. We've already talked about this. This is a card to ask you to pray for about six people on a regular basis. On the back side is the Romans Road. It's my favorite way to share the gospel. You hear it often from this pulpit, the Romans Road. And it's got the verses that walk you right through what sin is, what our need is, what salvation is, and so on, and what choice needs to be made. So they're all back there to help you. And I'd love to see them gone, and I have to replenish them regularly. But if they go away, I hope you use them, all right? To reveal the Father, look at letter B. Completing His work. In verses 4 and 5, Jesus says, I have brought you glory. He's done his job on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. He has brought the Father glory. How has he done that? By completing his work. You know what it means when he completed God's work? He obeyed him. He did it. God said, here's what I want you to do. And the Son said, done, and went and did it. And so he completed the work, and he brought glory to the Father, because the Father's work is what is going to bring souls to Christ. So he revealed the Father to humanity. That's what he did. Yes, he's going to die on the cross, and that is the focal point of all of Scripture and should be our whole life. But even before that, he's revealing the Father and how he lived and how he related to people in his very heart attitude on everything. And so he's making the Father known in how he lives, and he gives eternal life to some. The desire of Jesus, when you read the Gospels, Jesus states it, and we'll see it further next week in John 15. The desire of Jesus was to complete his Father's work assigned to him. That was his desire. That was his whole focus. I was reading a book the other day, and it's a book I've read in different forms by different authors, same thing, but he started out with this: God, God's Word, the souls of mankind. These are the only things that will last into eternity. I found it very encouraging in my life, because I kind of get clouded with other things. Though I know this, I forget and I get focused here. And I need to reorganize some of my priorities and make sure that I'm pursuing sharing the gospel, fulfilling the mission that Christ has given me. All right, look at number two. The apostles were to continue his mission, the mission of Christ. Look at letter A. I want to talk about the Father's gift. So we're going to look at verses 6 through 8. Jesus says, I've revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you. For I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. Let's stop there and let's notice. Jesus didn't say, I was a good example for them and they're following my example. It doesn't say that. I gave them the words. I told them who you are. I communicated to them truth that we have contained in God's word. Where do we find the ability to grow in Christ? The Holy Spirit applying God's word. So look at number one, the Father's gift, his amazing grace. Don't need to say much about that. If you know Christ as your Lord and Savior, you realize it's amazing. The Father's gift were souls that were repenting. If you know Christ as your Lord and Savior, that's a gift from God, not a work of you. God is awesome, amazing. And this grace is only possible because he does a work in your life. And there are some who don't know Christ right now, and he is working in your life right now. This includes the 12. This is who he's talking to. He's praying in their midst, and he's working with those 12. Notice he says, I'm not praying for the world. That doesn't mean he doesn't care about the world. It means he cares about those who are going to continue his mission. And he's praying on behalf of them that they'll be effective. Look at number two, the effective word. I've kind of mentioned this already. So what is the word they got? We summarize it as the gospel, or like on the front of your bulletin, our theme this year, sharing the good news. It's revealing who the Father is, his very nature, his very character, his love, his righteousness, and all of that. Notice they believed everything. They believed everything that God was telling, Jesus was telling them, and they gave their life to Him. Look at letter B. Here's the son's request. Now we're going to talk about unity. I want you to hear what unity is, because we make unity a whole bunch of stuff, and they're all noble ideas. But let's go to who has told us what unity is and focus here. His son's request, number one, for unity. Verses 9 through 12, Jesus says, I pray for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those who you have given me, for they are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine. And glory has come to me through them. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by the name you gave me. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, so the scripture would be fulfilled. First of all, I pray for them. Who is them? In verses 1 through 5, Jesus is praying on his behalf. He gave me a job to do to glorify you, to make you known. I done did it. Now he's talking here in verses 6 through 19, and he's talking about those who are in his immediate circle, his apostles. I'm praying for them to be effective. I'm praying for them, basically, to continue the work of Christ, which is what they did, right? He says, glory has come to me through them. It's not that they're out there going, hey, Jesus is the coolest guy in the world. We're going to follow him. That's not at all what it's saying. The rest of Scripture, when we take in the context, what it's saying is they have given their life to the Father. They have received the grace that God has offered. This is a sign, a symbol, a picture, a reality of the work of God. Nobody comes to the Father because we think it's a good idea. It's an impossibility with that sinful nature. We come to Christ because Christ has made himself known within our heart, and somehow we have a choice to say, I'm going to receive you or I'm going to reject you. Those who receive Christ, it's all a work of him. So Jesus is saying, it's to my glory. Paul says a similar thing in Philippians. I look to y'all and I think, man, that's the coolest thing on earth, because it's evidence that the gospel is real. Notice he prays for protection because he's leaving. We know how he's leaving, by the cross. And he's going to be gone. He is going to send the Holy Spirit, but he's praying for their protection because Satan, because sin, because this hostile world wants to destroy any remnants of the concept of Christ. One, pray that they are one as we are one. What is it talking about there? The liberal church says we need to lower the standards and just receive everybody and just go on happy together. By the way, it can never happen. Humanity can't do that. We cannot all agree on a broad spectrum and just be happy together. It ain't never going to happen. So what is the unity here? Jesus and the Father are on the same page. The Father, lack of a better term, is the boss. And Jesus is the servant. Jesus didn't come to share his opinion about the Father, his opinion about anything. He came to reveal the very message the Father had given him. They are one in message, one in purpose, one in mission. It's like if you hear Jesus talk, all he is doing is saying exactly what the Father wants him to do. When you watch Jesus live, what you're seeing is God living. It's like looking at the same person. Now, God the Father, God the Son, they are the same being. But for this prayer, what he is saying is, I pray that they are one as we are one, Father. In other words, may their life purpose, may their mission, may their message be the exact same thing as our message. That's where unity is. It's not in the color chairs we sit in. It's not in the way we dress. It's not even in the translation of Scripture we choose. Our unity is in the person, the message, and our mission in Christ. Let's see, look at number two. Go a little bit further on this protection thing. He goes on in verses 13 to 15. I am coming to you now, Father, he's going to die. But I say these things while I am still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world, meaning those followers of Jesus. They are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. Doggone it. I want to become a believer and immediately go to heaven. But Jesus says, no. I want you to come to me and trust in me and then live it out for the purpose, for the mission of bringing others to Jesus. Jesus talks about his full measure of joy. We're going to talk a little bit about that next week in John 15. And we're going to find out his joy. The joy of Christ was this, to do the Father's will. To be obedient, Hebrews says, even to the point of death. But to do exactly what the Father wanted. We sometimes struggle with that. Because we know what God wants and we look and say, well, that may not work out so well. So I think I'm going to do it my way. By the way, that's the heart of sin. Jesus says, could you please save these people a different way other than me going to the cross? Nevertheless, not my will, but your will, and fully meaning it. And then he wakes his disciples up, comes back, prays a similar prayer with a little more conviction. Father, even if it doesn't happen, please, could you take this cup from me? But it looks like it's not going to happen. And he prays the prayer a third time. It's even shorter, more convinced. When he's done, he says, wake up, dudes. Here comes the betrayer. And he walks to Judas because it is God's will. And all he wants to do is obey the Father. Let's see. The world's hate. It says that Christians are not of this sinful world. Sin hates the light. Don't believe me? Look at John 3, verses 19 and following. You know John 3:16, John 3:17. For God so loved the world, he gave his one only begotten Son, that whoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The Son did not come into the world to condemn the world, but to save that which was lost. And then the rest of John chapter 3 says, darkness runs from the light. John chapter 1, Jesus is the light. Came to his own received him not. So, he talks about protect, and I've already mentioned this. He doesn't pray to remove them from the hostility, but he prays to protect them through the hostility. And when you are bearing through it, it's not to your credit. It's to the credit of God the Father who is protecting you through the mess. The apostles, I don't think, really had a clue. But they had to learn how to do that after the death of Christ. You know how all the apostles ended their life? By death. Persecution. Because of their love for Jesus. Wait, Jesus promised them peace. And they had it with God the Father. Not with sinful world, because it can't happen. They were at peace with each other and peace with the Father, and they carried on the work of Christ. Look at letter C. The apostles' work. Remember Jesus, verses 1 through 5? He's praying, I've accomplished what you've asked me to do, and now I'm passing that job on to the apostles. They're not to go out and do their own thing. They're not going to go start things. They're going to go continue the work of Christ. Letter C, the apostles' work, verses 16 and 19. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. there's their task. As God the Father has sent Jesus to accomplish a specific task, Jesus says, I now give that to the apostles. They're to do the same thing that Jesus is doing. It goes on, for them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. Look at number one. To be God's special people, to sanctify, it can mean to clean, but it means to clean for the purpose of setting apart here in service to God. You have the temple in the Old Testament. You had the brazen altar. Its purpose was to burn sacrifices to the Lord. It was not to be the barbecue when nobody is sacrificing. It had one purpose. He had the Ark of the Covenant. That's where God the Father would sit when he was with his people. And they weren't allowed in there except one person, one time a year, the high priest, to ask for forgiveness. When God was out on vacation or taking a stroll, they didn't take the Ark of the Covenant, put it under a tree, and take the brazen altar, put it under a tree, sit on the Ark of the Covenant, and have a barbecue. It had a specific purpose, and that was it. Do you understand you're sanctified? If you know Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have a purpose. Don't get me wrong, but it's not to be a good citizen. It's not to be a good political party member. It's none of that. That's all important. But our purpose is to be on mission. What is mission? Jesus' mission was to make the Father known. He passed that on to the apostles. We're going to see how that gets passed on to us in a minute. Look at number two, to be engaged with the world. Jesus was sent into the world with God's message, and he sent his apostles into the world with the same message. By the way, Ephesians 2, verses 19 to 20 says that the apostles are the foundation of the church. The church is not man's idea, it's God's. We kind of twist it and contort it sometimes and make it our own, but it's still theirs. Sometimes believers, this really concerns me because it's the mark of an immature believer. All I want to do is get with a bunch of other believers. If we're honest, I want to get with a bunch of believers who think like I do. It's extremely selfish. It's the heart of immaturity. But I want to be here, and I want to be with this group of people, and I want to be sheltered and protected from all that out there. We call that commune. The monks used to do it during the Middle Ages, and the whole world fell apart. We're not to be cloistered. We're to be in the thick of it. We're called to be on mission in the thick of it. Man, it's hard. The word that gets thrown around now is, it's messy. Well, yeah. Same thing in the commune. Until I find the right people that I can get along with. That's not church. We're to be on mission with the same message. There's our unity, and it's Jesus Christ. And we're to do it together. Number three, the church is to continue his mission. This is the rest of his prayer, verses 20 to 26. It breaks up wonderfully. I've already told you, verses 1 through 5. Jesus is praying about himself. You gave me a job. I done did it. I'm coming to see you, so I got to leave. And then verses 6 through 19, he says, and so I'm giving the same task you gave me to the apostles. And then he's going to say, and to those who listen to the apostles, the church, right? They have the same task. Our task is not different than the apostles, and it's not different than that of Christ. Look at letter A. With a unified message. Here's where unity is. Unified message. Look at verses 20 to 21. Jesus says, my prayer is not for them alone, meaning my apostles. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. There's that unity thing again. Unified because of truth. Unified because of message. unified because of devotion to the person and the work of Jesus Christ, trusting Him only for our relationship with God the Father, and being on task, being on mission, not just living and being an example, but speaking and teaching the Word of God. Look at verses 22 to 23a. Jesus says, I have given them the glory that you gave me. What's the glory? What's His joy? The privilege of sharing the Father. That they may be one as we are one, I and them, and you and me. Once again, because our purpose is so aligned, it's as though one person is going out. Those who will believe, this is the church, you and me. The message is revealing the Father's nature and character. The gospel message, or like on the front of your bulletin, sharing the good news. Christ's glory. It was to deliver the Father's message. The unity is in the message, the truth. By the way, it's the opposite of Romans 3:23. Remember Romans 3:23? All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There's no way, if I don't know Christ as my Lord and Savior, there's no way I can bring God any glory. But if I know Christ as my Lord and Savior, if I take that free gift of God, Romans 6:23, now I can bring glory to the Father because He has made a new life in me. And it's not me who brings glory. It's the Father brings glory to Himself through me, because without that work, it would never happen. Pastor, I don't know if I can share Christ. I don't know if I'm really that good of a Christian. Your God is not big enough then. Because you have the same God of the Bible, same God as me, same God as Billy Graham, same God as you can name him. And if you don't feel adequate, that's what He wants. Because He will make you be glorifying to Him. You may not be some really outgoing person and a lot of charisma, God will still use you. You ever heard of a man named Kimball? I don't remember his first name, that's the point. How many of you ever heard of D.L. Moody, Dwight Moody? Anybody? Moody Bible College, and so on and so forth. He was a great winner of souls. This guy loved the Lord. He was born into a large family, and he was somewhere, I forget, 13 to 15 kids in the family. And Dad left him early. I don't know how early it could have been with that many kids. But anyway, left him early. He died and left him in a great deal of debt. And so whatever clothes they had, they'd pass on down to the next kid. So if you're the youngest kid, you'd get the most ratty-looking clothes and shoes. D.L. Moody said, I seldom had a pair of shoes. And I determined that when I grow up, I would never lack for shoes again. He grew up. He's in Chicago. And he got out there, and he was a shoe salesman, and he was very successful. Very successful. Making all kinds of money. I'm a self-made man, thumping his chest and all of that. And somebody named Kimball was able to tell him about Jesus Christ. And D.L. Moody gave his life to Christ. And then the world changed, because Moody, all he wanted to do, he saw God, God's Word, and the souls of mankind as the only thing eternal. It was no longer money, it was no longer shoes. And so he began to win souls for Christ. They say, and it's different in that age than it is now, but he could be walking downtown Chicago, and he could grab somebody and say, do you know Jesus? And he'd win them to the Lord right there. Okay, if I do that, I'd probably get decked, cop called on me, they'd run away. It wouldn't work. Neither would for you. Kimball was obedient to the Lord. Not a flashy guy. We don't know anything about him. I can't even tell you his first name. And yet God used him to bring D.L. Moody to the Lord. And he did a remarkable work. And D.L. Moody would be the first to tell you, and he has on several occasions, it's not me. It's because of what the Lord has done in me, and all I want to do is tell others. Here's another one. Look at letter B. With a unified mission. Our unity is in our message. It's in our mission. Look at the second half of verses 21 and 23. Jesus says, talking about unity, may they also be in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I was with a group of pastors, and there were some liberal pastors there, some conservative pastors. We are not talking political associations. We're talking related to God's word. The liberal believes this was written by people who had ideas about God. This is the opinion of humanity. As a conservative, I am. That Bible was written by God, and it tells me what I need to know about God, and I need to let it tell me what to say. These are the words of God. And we were trying to decide who we were as an association of pastors. And the liberals kept saying, why don't we just choose one of these verses here in John, where it says, may they be one as we are one. And they wanted to stop there. And I'm going, man, that's anemic in my mind. And so I look up the verse and I see what follows it, so that they will know that you have sent me. And so I simply said, I'm okay with that verse, but you stopped halfway. Finish the verse. Finish the sentence. Finish the context. And let's add in there, so that they will know that you have sent me. And the liberals, to the person, said, we can't do that. That's far too narrow. They're wanting unity. They're wanting peace with watered down standards of God's word. We divided over that. Those liberals moved on, and the conservatives stayed intact. Because we want to pursue the gospel, the good news. That's a key verse. To be on mission means to be the purpose or the cause all believers are called to. Our mission is the reason the Father sent the Son. That's to reveal the Father. He gave that same task to the apostles and then passed that same task on to you and me. Verse 23b. May they be brought to complete unity to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Here's a warning. Don't lose your first love. It is far too easy in this world. It's far too easy in churches today. And I'm not down on church, you know me. But it's far too easy in a human existence to be distracted by so much. This is more important than this. The budget's more important than the gospel going out. Attendance is more important than the gospel going out. This is more important than the gospel going out. I dare say to you, the blessing that comes from the Father is when we're on mission, when we're living out the gospel. By the way, God is good. All the time. So I come in here for Awana. I mosey around after doing some youth things. I try and just touch base with everybody. And a leader grabbed me, and they brought this little girl out, and they said, I forget her name. What's her name?
Elena.
He said, Elena asked Jesus to be her Lord and Savior tonight. And she had a big smile, and we chatted about it a little bit. So Wednesday night, there's somebody else who's on their way to heaven. So that's right. And it's okay to break out and be a little charismatic and hoot and holler over that, okay? If we're on mission, if we're seeing God, God's word, and the souls of mankind as valuable, the only thing in eternity, and someone gives their life to Christ, it's a cause to hoot and holler, all right? So I just want to thank those who are obedient. Now, you can share good news with a bunch of people, nobody responds. That's not your fault. That's between them and the Holy Spirit. Our job is to be on mission, unified in our message, making the Father known. All right, look at letter C. With the unified love of God, verses 24 and 26. Father, I want those who have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them. The glory of Christ was to be obedient to the Father. The glory of Christ was to make the Father known. The glory of Christ was to continue making the Father known even after the cross. How does he continue? He gave the job to the apostles, and through them, our job. What is our mission? Is to be unified as a local church in the message that God sent through Christ. I have some applications there for you. Number one, the mission of the church is not becoming close friends and family. Wait, Pastor, you call the church a family, you call it a flock, you call it a building. Yeah, that's important. But we're not just to get together and be friends any more than the five guys that climbed the top of Superstition Mountain. Yeah, we became friends, but that was not our goal. Our goal was to accomplish something together that bonded us and drew us together, right? Hey, believer, North Mason Bible Church, we're to be on mission. We're to have the same message. We should be doing this in all aspects of church life, of our private lives, of our corporate life. The blessing is we will become a family. We don't fabricate family. We become family. So it goes on. The mission of the church is to continue the joy of Christ, which is revealing the message and the character of the Father to the world. Sharing the good news, being on mission, is what his family is all about. Look at number two. The world cannot see God, but they can see God's people. And they can see God at work in his people. We have a mission to bring glory to God in every situation, and by doing so, introduce people to Jesus Christ. Something hard comes into your life. You should have an attitude that is so dependent on the Lord, they see it. I believe Carrie did that while she was going through cancer. It was seen by those she worked with. Okay? And comments were made as a result. They should see the Lord that she's trusting in. Look at number three. How can you help North Mason Bible Church fulfill its mission? What role do you have in helping to make healthy disciples who, in turn, are helping to make healthy disciples? Do you need to take a step? Talk with Pastor Jim, an elder, or the church secretary to be guided to your next step. In your bulletin, there's a yellow bookmark. Okay? It has our purpose statement. It has our vision statement. That's the direction of who we are. It's not something we made up. It's something we got from God's Word. And it is the understanding that we're continuing the work of Christ. On the other side, you got core values. Keep familiarizing yourself with that. Everything you do in and through this church, in your own personal life, work, play, whatever. Try and make sure you're fulfilling that whole understanding on that bookmark. See, we need to be a church that raises up disciples who are leading people to Jesus Christ. We want to stay on mission. Our theme this year, sharing the good news. And I'm going to try and do a better job of keeping that in front of you. All right? Father, I want to thank you for this fine day. Your love, your compassion, you're an awesome God. Thank you for these people's patience as I'm sharing what you are teaching me. I have been, for the past year, very challenged by the things that I'm thinking through, not just with John 17, but the next two sermons, including Genesis. Father, if I'm honest, it's been a long time since I've really had the opportunity to lead anybody to the Lord, and I feel empty. Pray for that opportunity. I pray more that I don't miss those opportunities. Help us as a church, Father, to get our eyes off of, to do the things that need to be done, but get our eyes off of the distractions. Help us to see God, God's Word, and the souls of mankind as our priority. Sharing and revealing who the Father is. Help us to learn how to, as a local church, be on mission, focused in unity around the message and the person of Jesus Christ. It is a privilege. In Jesus' name, amen.